Penguin Random House Audio presents Spirits of the Earth, a guide to Native American nature symbols, stories, and ceremonies by Bobby Lake Tom, Medicine Grizzly Bear. Read for you by Lauren Cardinal. A Native Prayer. O Great Creator, I come before you in a humble manner and offer you this sacred pipe. With tears in my eyes and an ancient song from my heart, I pray. To the four powers of creation, to the grandfather sun, to the grandmother moon, to the mother earth, and to my ancestors. I pray for my relations in nature, all those who walk, crawl, fly, and swim, seen and unseen, to the good spirits that exist in every part of creation. I ask that you bless our elders and children, families and friends, and the brothers and sisters who are in prison. I pray for the ones who are sick on drugs and alcohol, and for those who are now homeless and forlorn. I also pray for peace among the four races of humankind. May there be good health and healing for this earth. May there be beauty above me. May there be beauty below me. May there be beauty in me. May there be beauty all around me. I ask that this world be filled with peace, love, and beauty. Medicine Grizzly Bear, Earth Healing Ceremony, Spokane, Washington, 1990. Introduction. The following material can be very confusing and difficult to explain to those who have not been raised in the Native American culture, and without some guidance by a mentor. The authenticity may be questioned because it deals with a form of reality that is open to interpretation. Native American cultures are based on different perceptions and experiences with reality. Symbols, meanings, and omens. The communications with the owl, hawk, spider, or snake, for example, might mean different things to different people from different cultures or beliefs, or from different systems of thinking, from differences in imagination, or from different experiences and degrees of spiritual development. Nature can and does communicate to us humans. Within this communication via omens, signs, and mythic religious symbols is a definite system of knowledge. Until recently, this knowledge was primarily reserved for medicine men or medicine women, or what Western people call shamans, who traditionally hoarded it for themselves or occasionally shared it with their people. Consequently, not all Native American people will know about this system of knowledge, but those who have been raised in the traditional Native American cultural ways will have some understanding and appreciation of it. By the same token, I want the listener to realize that the unique knowledge shared in this book is not meant to represent all Native people and tribes, nor should it be considered a romanticism of Native spirituality. It is simply this: an opportunity to learn how to understand and speak nature's language. It is a rare opportunity for modern people to reestablish and reconnect with their relationship with nature, to develop a real kinship with the Mother Earth, nature, and all our relations in the universe. It doesn't matter what race or nationality you are, or what religious belief you subscribe to. All that is required here is an open mind and a willingness to learn. We are all part of nature. We are all the great creator's children. So although the information shared here is from a traditional Native American healer, although it originates from Native American philosophy and ideology and is supported by Native mythology, it should not be construed as being representative of all Native American tribal or personal beliefs, knowledge, and practices. The Native American perspective and experiences being shared here are intended to help increase understanding, to bridge cultural differences, yet also to highlight similarities. I am sure upon further research and comparison, you will discover that the traditional cultures in Africa, Australia, Asia, and among certain groups throughout Europe and the Mideast might have a similar system of knowledge. Remnants of Western knowledge about nature can be found recorded in ancient European myths, fairy tales, legends, and stories if the reader desires further comparison and study. despite both the positive and negative advances of Western society and its impact upon traditional Native cultures, we just can't ignore certain forms of knowledge that have stood the test of time. We also can't ignore certain supernatural and mystical encounters that some modern people experience today. Some things that occur in nature that affect our lives cannot be explained or verified by the rational mind, the academic intellect, or the scientific approach, or by religious precept or typical Western thinking. The more sensitive, curious, and liberal-minded are really caught in a dilemma. When something strange happens to them they can't understand, they call it supernatural. If they begin to understand it and start to believe in it, others will say they are superstitious. This conflict between rational and intuitive thinking is still being debated by some of the greatest philosophers in the world, while psychologists, psychiatrists, and scientists are constantly trying to establish new classifications to either hide it, suppress it, or figure out some way to logically explain it. Things such as strange encounters with omens, signs, and so-called supernatural contacts with talking animals, birds, fish, bugs, lizards, snakes, clouds, winds, ghosts, or spirits seem like a foreign world to most modern people. And yet these things do indeed exist, whether as figments of our imagination or as actual realities making physical and sensory contact. A couple of years ago, I lectured at the Theosophical Society in Wheaton, Illinois, on the topic of Native American mythology, symbolism, and spirituality. I was talking about nature and why we traditional Indians consider it sacred, how nature is a teacher and healer to us, and why we believe it communicates through a system of symbols. At the very start of my lecture, I did a prayer ritual according to custom, as an acknowledgement of respect to the ancestral spirits and nature spirits of that region. I burned some sweetgrass and tobacco as an invocation, said a short prayer in my native language, and opened with an ancient song. Within a matter of minutes, a large raven flew in and landed on the open windowsill on the right. A red-shafted flicker bird flew in at the same moment and landed on an open windowsill on the left. And lightning and thunder cracked immediately overhead several times on a perfectly clear day. Approximately 150 people were in attendance and saw this occur. Such an act is not magic. It may be synchronistic. It may be spiritual. It may even be mystical, but it was definitely a demonstration of nature communicating to all of us symbolically, and it was definitely a reality for everyone there who saw it. The raven hollered loudly. The flicker bird whistled loudly. Both had gone out of their way to show themselves to all of us there, and the natural forces above us outside, hidden by the large building, made themselves apparent. Why? I started my lecture in a dramatic way, seizing upon this unusual opportunity to lead into the discussion, which in turn served to provide the audience with an example of the phenomenon being discussed, not simply as a theory, but as a reality. Was all this simply coincidence? I don't think so. But I am sure someone could rationalize it as an example of collective hallucination, mass hypnosis, or some other state. So what does one in Western society do when encountering such phenomena? Who can you turn to for an explanation? Is it simply a coincidence when a small bird slams into the front room window of the house, or suddenly flies into the house, and shortly afterward a relative dies? Why just your house and not the neighbor's? Why did a snake suddenly appear next to you while you were sitting on the lawn at lunch break with some friends or colleagues? Why didn't it slide up to someone else instead of you, as if to say, "Hey, cousin, I want your attention here a minute"? Why did the butterfly land on your shoulder when you were on your way to work and not your friend's? What was it trying to tell you? Why did the spider jump on your supervisor at work and not you? Why did the hawk fly in front of your car and not cars in the other lane as you were coming home from work? Why did you see that furry animal by the road and other people with you didn't even notice?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?